Thank you for listening to a student ministry sermon from Christ Church of Orinoco. For more information about the student ministry, or about Christ Church in general, visit us online at ccochurch.com. And now, here's this week's student ministry sermon.
This semester, we're going to look at what it means to be shaped by the Holy Spirit. And before we start and dive into what the fruit of the Spirit is, we have to assess where we are. We have to answer the question, you guys have heard me ask it a number of times, where are you in your faith? And then next week, we're going to look at what is your next step. This is always good for us. It's good for me every single morning that I wake up. Where am I in my faith? Assessing today, where am I? And so I encourage you and challenge you that this week, this wouldn't just be a sermon that you just tune out right now and, you know, kind of grasp a little bit here and there and then walk away different. But you would actually take this question. So if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Where are you in your faith is the question that needs to be answered. And it's answered by tonight. What we're going to look at is you are shaped by what you're in proximity to. You're shaped by what you're in proximity to, okay? That's the bottom line. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to start diving into the words that we already heard through John 15. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to be in this place. We're grateful to have a moment of just Selah, of just sitting and resting in you. And that's what tonight is about abiding in you, about resting in you, about being in you as you were in us. God, may we unpack that tonight individually and as a whole. May we answer the question, where are we? And may we be able to assess how we join our lives with you and those around us. Because we are shaped ultimately by what we're in proximity to. And so God, I pray that tonight we would be encouraged, convicted, challenged to grow closer to you as you undoubtedly are drawing closer to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many have truly, honestly been lost? Like you've been absolutely, do not know Mason's the only one. I believe it, brother. I believe it. How many have just been you've been lost, like you have zero clue where you are? Okay. So I don't know, older folks in the room, sorry to call you out automatically, like right off the gate, but like, I don't know how people did it without the GPS on their phones, right? You know, you had like the huge like monitor that you kind of suction cupped onto the dashboard at one time, the Garmins, you know, or the TomToms or whatever those are called, but you know, now it's like, I can't get anywhere without my phone. I don't know, like I lived in a small town, so I didn't, like you had to really try to get lost in the small town of Crawfordsville, Indiana. But like when I moved to Houston, Texas, like I lived off of this thing. Like if my phone was about to die, I'm like, Jones, for like a plug-in, like I cannot go without, right? Like I have to have the GPS. So one night, my wife planned this date night with some friends of ours. And I went out with a buddy of mine, and we were catching up, and I'm like, oh man, I'm so late. And so I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I look at my phone, it's at 1%. I'm like, oh, no sweat. I have my charger in my car. Get in the car. Do you guys know where this is going? Did I have the charger in the car? Nope. I'm at 1%. I'm like, I vaguely remember where I'm going in Houston, like at this the couple's house. And so I'm like, I think I know how to get there. Well, traffic in Houston is awesome, says no one. So I'm like, I cannot take the interstate. I'll take some back roads to get there quicker. That is a wrong move, especially when you don't know where you're going, right? So I take some back roads. I'm like, I can get there quicker. So I'm cruising along, bumper to bumper traffic. And then on top of that, I have to tinkle. I have to pee. Bad. And so it's like one of those things where you're like, oh, I gotta pee, I'm in traffic, stoplight, I'm taking back roads, so I'm not on interstate. I'm like, please, gas station is coming up. I can see the gas station, okay? I'm in like 20 cars deep at a red light, and it's like, red light. I'm like, green light. Yeah. Yeah, like, red light. Oh. And as you get closer and closer, what happens? You have to pee worse, right? And so I'm like, And I had a stick shift, so I'm like trying, I'm like just stalling, you know? I'm like, I have to go so bad. So I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at all. My phone at this point is dead. So I finally get to the gas station. I'm like making a beeline to the restroom. So I'm like, don't even like talk to anybody. I'm like, go right for it, for the bathroom door. And the guy, I turn around, it's locked. I'm like, oh no. I turn around, the guy's like, here you go, the key. So I'm like, oh, thank you. Run, get the key. It's on like a broomstick. I like run back to the bathroom. And then, you know, typical rooms, right? So like you go into a room, right? And what's on either it's usually the wall side that the door's not on, right? Is what? The light switch. So open up the door. No light switch. I'm looking around. At this point, it's like going down my leg, okay? This is going to get a little personal. We're going to get really close really quick here. So I'm like, I'm peeing at this point. So I'm like, where? I see the toilet door's open. I got to go. So I go, at this point, the door is like cracked, okay? There's light that's barely coming in so that I can see. I don't know what other people are doing out in the gas station lobby, but I start to go, well, here's the deal. When you have that much pressure built up, I don't know if you guys have experienced this before, but I have. I had so much pressure built up that I didn't no longer only had to pee, but there's something else that was happening. And so I go to pee, and I start to poop my pants. And this is bad, okay? So door cracked open, lights off. I, at this point, like, I'm getting ready to pee. No, I'm going to poop. Oh, no. And so I do one of these numbers, like, real quick. But there's candles on top of the toilet. Like, who puts candles on top of the toilet? Glass everywhere. Candles shatter. I peed places. It was bad. On top of all this, I'm still lost. I don't know where I'm going. I pooped my pants and peed all over a gas station bathroom. So, needless to say, like, I clean myself up. I don't even bother talking to anybody at the gas station. I just leave. Just go to my car, get going. I'm still lost. Like, there's nowhere that I know any semblance of my location at all. We've all been, maybe not there, like maybe you didn't poop your pants or pee all over everything, but we've all been at a place where we have felt absolutely lost and helpless. Maybe you felt lost physically, like you don't know where you are, okay? And Mason, I'm proud of you, brother. You raise your hand. You were lost. But all of us at some level in our lives have felt lost, helpless. Maybe not to the extent where you've soiled yourself, but there's a place in all of our spiritual walks where we have not been at a place where we have really, truly found who we are in Christ. So, in order to know where we're going, we need to know where we are. We have to know exactly where we are in our faith. And where we are is in close proximity to two things. You're shaped by what you're in close proximity to. And what we're going to talk about tonight is we're shaped by what we're close proximity to. One is our Heavenly Father, and two is community. Up here on the stage, there's a couple trees. This one is alive. And this one is dead. I don't know if you guys recognize that. I think it's just a stick, but we're going to act like it's a tree. This one's alive, and this one's dead. Where are you is either in this camp or in this camp. We are either alive or we are dead. So, where are you in your faith? Are you alive or are you dead? When I was growing up, I grew up in a conservative Christian environment. And it seemed like everybody around me was a Christian. I think you guys can probably attest to that. Like, in this culture here in Southwest Missouri, it seems like everybody is a Christian. And for the most part, everybody, you know, looks alive. Looks like they are living a Christian life in Christ. But if we're honest, I think some of us are maybe on this side, a little dead. See, when I was growing up, you are shaped by who you're closest to, who you're in close proximity to. And so growing up, I started going to church in junior high and then like early on in high school. And I didn't really know church all that well. I didn't know really what the right words to say or what to do. And so I had some close friends at church that started showing me the ropes, showing me, you know, you guys know, like the fruit of the Spirit, how to love, what is joy, peace, what else? Patience, kindness, what else? Faithfulness, what else? Self-control, I think there's a couple others. You guys get the picture. You know, and soon, I started producing some fruit. But to be honest with you guys, it was the wrong kind of fruit. See, this fruit, minus this little hook, it looks real. But anybody want a bite? Yeah, you want a bite? It's not real at all. So let's call this love. I soon learned how to be loving, okay? But it was all about the outside appearance on the dead tree. It wasn't about who I was on the inside. It was about how I looked on the outside. Love. You know, love is an interesting action, right? But really what the world wanted me to be is nice. Just be nice. You don't have to really be loving. Just be nice. You know, and then I started to master gentleness. If I can just be gentle, I could separate these things. Oh, I got to work on love, but man, if I can really nail down gentleness, man, I think people really will respect that gentleness. Hey, Matt, you said something earlier, self-control. You know, all of us want some self-control. You know, if I could just stop doing the things that people tell me are bad, you know, if I could just start doing the good things, self-control. I mean, gosh, stop looking at stuff on the internet, stop doing stuff with my girlfriend, you know, stop cheating on tests. If I can just control these desires, then you know what? I'm going to look a lot better here. This tree's starting to look pretty good, huh? What else? Yeah, goodness. I'll go down here. What other ones am I missing? Patience. Man, we all need a little patience. If I just bite my tongue, if I'm just like a doormat, you know, and people, I'll just let people just kind of trample all over me, I think that'll really get people to look at me differently. And then, yeah, that'll make this tree more alive. What other ones? Peace. Oh, joy. Let's do joy. The banana. Joy. If I'm just happy all the time, hey, buddy, how you doing? If I always have a smile on my face, I never can complain. You know, maybe it'll look a lot better. What else? What other fruit? Faithfulness. Man, if I do what I said I'm going to do, I'm running out of space here. If I'm faithful, yeah, I think that'll work. Ah, but I'm lagging. All of a sudden you start working on this one and the fruit here, love, starts to, I need to pay attention to that some more, right? All of a sudden I'm trying to balance all these things. What are the other ones? Peace. Did we already do peace? What's the last one? Was it? Loyalty? What's the last one? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness. I think I already did that one. Goodness. There we go. Good job. So all of a sudden, this dead tree, I'm making look alive. I'm making look like it's bearing fruit. What's the reality, though? It's still dead. And it's still fake, right? And what happens here is that we distance ourselves from God and we distance ourselves from others. Because the reality is, just from this seat right here, if you were to look at the fruit, it would look pretty real. Now, again, minus the hooks here or the string. Now, it looks real. This looks like an apple. But when you get closer to it, you can see that it's not an apple at all. And so often in our lives, we start to do the Heisman to God and to others. We say, God, you know, I want you to be distant. I need you to be at bay. I need you to be a little bit over there. And I'll come talk to you when I need you. And then to others, we do the same. I'm only going to let them in on a little bit. I'm only going to tell them a little bit about my life or about what's going on, about really what's happening. Is this tree now alive? Is it now bearing fruit? No, it's still dead. This is what John chapter 15, if we could throw it on the screen again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine. Jesus is saying, I am essentially the roots. I am what brings life. And to a first century Jew, when they heard that Jesus is the vine, they would automatically associate that that's what Israel was called in the Old Testament. Jesus is saying, your identity is in me. And unfortunately, when Israel was called the vine, it was in a negative connotation or terms. It meant that they were doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. And Jesus is saying, you know what? No, I am the vine. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. You know, if we could stop there, it'd be great, man. Like, I wanna abide in him, I wanna rest in him. This is where I get my life source. This is fake. This is dead. But this is where I get my life source from. And then it goes on to say, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Leave that up. Let's leave that up there right now. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You know, Jesus doesn't, by his grace, allow us to stay where we are. But by his grace, he takes us into a more perfect version of ourselves, a better version of ourselves, a more likeness to him. And a part of that is cutting or pruning. That doesn't sound appealing to me. And nor does it sound like what people say a lot about Christianity. And what they say is, oh no, you need to work on you. You need to work on love and joy, and you need to do all these different things, right? And have this facade that you have it all together. Have this image like you have it all together. Because certainly if people were to struggle or go through hardship or go through a lot of stuff in life, we would think, man, are you right with God? I think that's our inclination. It's something that we often go to. But Jesus is saying it's through the pruning, it's through that process, it's through the hurt, it's through the pain, it's through the challenges, it's through the obstacles of life that you are going to bear even more fruit. You're going to be even more fruitful. And when we start talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits of the Spirit. It's not these individual things, but it's a whole fruit. All of it together in likeness is growing closer and closer to Jesus. Because Jesus is the perfect love, the perfect peace, the perfect patience, the perfect kindness, the perfect gentleness, the perfect goodness, the perfect faithfulness, the perfect self-control. And we are on a journey to become more and more like him. But we need to abide in him. We need to rest in him. He goes on to say this in verse 3. You are already, this is crazy to me, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You are already clean. There's no, hey, let's fix ourselves up and make ourselves look a certain way. There's none of that. There's no, I'm going to go to church on Wednesdays or on Sundays and be a better version of myself. Jesus is saying, you are already clean. I've already cleaned you up. When you abide in me, when you call on my name, when you rest in me, when you profess that Jesus is Christ, I have made you clean. You have heard my word that I've spoken to you, you are clean. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Like, we don't have to work for that. I am clean. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We want to be fruitful. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to shape and form who we are in Christ and how others come to know who he is. But we cannot bear fruit on our own. We cannot make fruit look truly alive. But here's the deal. When we start to shove people aside, we start to shove God aside, we become more and more dead. But when we start to rest in God and we start to allow others to come in, we become more and more alive. As the band loads up, the challenge for us today is twofold. One is it's assessing where we are in our faith. Man, do I look more like a dead tree with fruit on the outside, and I'm trying to manage all that together? Or do I look alive? Am I truly alive in Jesus? Am I bearing more and more fruit every single day? Because the reality is this. There's a lot of people, and there's a lot of Christians that never get out of this place. And you know what I'm talking about. They're trying to manage their faith in a way that looks pretty on the outside. You're shaped by who or what you're in close proximity to. Are we allowing this to shape our lives? Or are we allowing the vine, the true source of life, the Redeemer, the Savior, to shape and form our lives so that we can bear more and more fruit for his glory? This semester, I am so excited to continue to go through the fruit of the Spirit. to learn more and grow more in all those aspects. But we cannot forget the source of the fruit. May we be shaped and formed in Jesus' likeness as a church, individually, and may we bear fruit, not for our own name or for our own glory, but for God's glory.
Thank you for listening to a student ministry sermon from Christ Church of Orinoco. For more information about the student ministry or about Christ Church in general, visit us online at ccochurch.com.